upon the sensation of, that is desire for belongingness, finding identity and purpose in the other, in himself. As he finds identity and purpose of himself in the other, as Hegel put it, the method is no way different from its object and content, for it is the content in itself, the dialectic it has in itself, that move it on. George Hegel, reading Hegel, the introduction, emphasis in original. For a person to praxis dialectic, reasoning on himself is one thing, he simply pays for his foolishness. But for him to treat others as human resource, seducing, deceiving, and manipulating them into joining him in his foolishness is another. Though he may persuade those who are foolish enough to listen to his foolishness that the dialectic process is a process of love, the truth is, in the end, it is a process of hate, that is, hate of the truth, hate of righteousness, and hate of the soul of man, and hate of God, making all men subject to the sensuousness, consciousness, and the sensuous reasoning, cosmic consciousness of his own nature, calling it, and his use of dialectic reasoning, which delivers him, that is human, nature from God and from the authority of the Father, so that man can use it for the betterment of the world, good, when in truth it is evil, that is the way of unrighteousness and abomination. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms 36 verses 1-4. Dialectic reasoning begins with the premise that man is basically good, or has the potential of becoming good through right praxis, through the right social experiences, that is the right educational experience, that the goodness of man will manifest itself through man's willful participation in right thoughts and right social action, thereby, from then on, measuring himself with himself, that is with his carnal nature, that is with that which he has in common with all men. Around the world, defining what is good and what is evil, including God and his word, thereby. Thus those of dialectic reasoning as willful children of disobedience call their carnal nature, that is the nature of the child within, before the father's act of repression, good, and the father's restraint of human nature and human reasoning, evil. Yet it is written, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. To gain understanding or come to know the truth according to their own sight, Isaiah 5 verses 20 and 21 bracketed information added. According to dialectic reasoning, good and evil has to be sense experienced by man and rationally weighted according to his pain-pleasure spectrum, his carnal nature, that is according to that which is of his own sensuousness, which is to avoid pain approach pleasure, with the sensation of pleasure being the highest good, before it is known, gnosis, as good or evil, rationally understood, making all things material, that is all things bound to man's own nature of sensuousness, where cosmic consciousness is simply man's love for himself and the world, united as one, all working together for the universal good, united as one in creating a better world for all becoming. One in a world of pleasure, that is in love, that is in eros, call it agape all you want, agape being a fruit of the spirit, not a fruit of the flesh, that is of human nature in love with itself, that is dialectically discovering. A world that was there all the time, only being repressed for a time by the restraints of righteousness, that is by the Father's commands to do good and not do evil, according to his will, so that reasoning itself, that is the divine spirit, could be discovered and known to man, becoming his savior. That is only inhibited by a time of faith before reason came along and liberated love, that is eros from righteousness and man's will, to be himself, made in his image, from the will of the Father, to be like him, made in his image. Thereby, through the deceitfulness and wickedness of dialectic reasoning, righteousness in the thoughts and actions of men is negated. Man's soul is thus sense perceived by those of dialectic reasoning as being only of the creation, sensuous of nature only, that is of the spirit of the world, that is having a sense of and desire for oneness with the world, that is with the cosmos, with the souls of all men coming together as one cosmic soul through the praxis of dialectic reasoning, that is through the consensus. Process being put into social action, delivering man from the Father, from God, from righteousness so that man can be himself again, before God gave him his first command and threatened to judge him if he disobeyed, that is becoming like God himself, that is coming to know good and evil, according to his own righteousness, according to his own carnal nature, perceiving himself to be righteous in his own eyes. The truth is, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2 verse 7, God sees us as individual souls, judging each one of us individually, according to our own thoughts and actions, holding us individually accountable to his will. Apart from this thesis, there can only be a position antithetical to, over and against, righteousness. Those of dialectic reasoning see our soul, as Marx called it, through the ether of the brain, that is through human reasoning, as of one soul, social in nature, our soul only having worth or value through our collective experience of consensus, that is through our sense experience of becoming at one with the world, that is becoming. As one below, that is as God in the collective sense, the plural, we becoming as one as us. Instead of worshiping and obeying the one above, God, who is over all, through our use of dialectic reasoning, we worship and obey the one below, God, that is the spirit of man united as one, the sensation of oneness in praxis, human sensuousness and human reasoning united as one in social action, etc., ruling over all. It is only in this way that individual man can escape the issue of sin. By finding that sin is common to all men and by calling it human nature, he can justify himself as being normal. Thus, through the use of dialectic reasoning, man is able to make sin sin, sin being the estrangement of man from God, because of the nature of man, that is because of his love of sensuousness, declared by God as sin, through dialectic reasoning, becomes the estrangement of man from man, because of the nature of God, that is because of his love of righteousness, declared by man as sin, thus making righteousness sin and sin righteousness, good evil, light dark, unrighteousness good and righteousness evil. Like a drug, the dialectic process is intoxicating and addictive. It is a process of pleasure, seducing, deceiving, and manipulating all who turn to it and participate. It is a process with an intended outcome, the negation of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God and thereby the death of the soul of man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1 verse 7, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea 4 verse 6, although Hosea's warning was spoken to Israel of old, it is true for all believers in Christ Jesus today, Jesus having fulfilled the law, that is not negating it, the Holy Spirit fulfilling it in us daily as we daily walk in him. The rejection of the fear of God is the rejection of knowledge, that is rejection of that knowledge which is everlasting, which is unchanging. To be a child, you must have a father. To have a father, you must have one in authority over you, commanding you, that is giving laws to be obeyed and chastening you, that is judging you when you breaking them, you must be a children. To reject the Father is to reject his laws, is to reject his office of authority, is to reject your position of authority under him, a position of authority given to you by him to rule over your nature according to his will, is to reject knowledge, is to be destroyed, is for your children to be forgotten, with no hope of a father's mercy or grace, that is being left to the ways of the world and death, a world which will use them, abuse them, consume them, and destroy them, that is seducing, deceiving, and manipulating them for its own pleasure, and then abandon them, that is reject them when they no longer provide for or serve its own pleasure, like what a pimp does with a prostitute, promise her the world, that is sustenance, pleasure, and safety, so that he can use her for his own pleasure and gain, only to cast her out, that is betray her in the end, that is if you reject your heavenly Father and his love for you, love that chastens, all you have is Satan and his love for you, out love, that will use you, up for his own pleasure, that is which is to detach you from your heavenly Father and his love, and destroy you in the end, that is all you have. What is it for you to gain the world, to reject righteousness, reject the will of the Father, in your pursuit of the sensuousness of the pleasures of this life, and in the process, in your use of dialectic, reasoning, justifying yourself, that is, justifying your carnal thoughts and carnal actions before carnal men, lose your soul, lose eternal life and gain eternal death, for your lusting after the sensuous, that is the fleeting moments of pleasure of this life, inheriting eternal damnation in the end, after you having taken your last breath, that is the last breath of all the breaths that God gave you, to acknowledge him who created you, to thank him for sending his only begotten Son to redeem you from eternal death, and to worship him who truly loves you with, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Mark 8 verses 36 to 38, what has happened to the children of the fathers of the past? Where are the fathers of the present? They have all become as their children, in the name of equality, lusting after the things of the present, that is chasing after the things of pleasure, that is in hot pursuit of the things of the world, that is living in the moment, losing their souls, as they come together as one, that is as children of disobedience. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3 verses 16 and 17 life, love, the soul of man, and righteousness therefore is of God alone, the Creator, and not of man, the created. Through the use of dialectic reasoning, man filters the authority of the Father from his thoughts and his actions, purging himself of the righteousness and grace of God, leaving himself with no hope of eternal life, only a life of the here and now. Life only having meaning in the sensuous moment, engendering a dog-eat-dog world, looking for an alpha dog to lead the pack, that is to lead the horde, that is to guide the masses, that is to facilitate the group, that is a world. Following after smiling faces and their promises of a better life, if we all work together, a phrase used only to seduce, deceive, and manipulate the ignorant, a world of hearts full of deceit and wickedness, full of vanity and pride, coveting, envying, driving by lust, purposed in apprehending, augmenting, and controlling all that is pleasurable, sensuous, in sight, yet never being satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Proverbs 27 verse 20, that is why government, controlling the people through the consensus process, that is initiating and sustaining unity through sensuousness, that is through what we all have in common and sensuous reasoning. That is what we can all identify with and agree upon in the moment through their willful, that is lustful, participation in dialectic reasoning, making them all stakeholders, participants in the process of change. Will not be satisfied until it has control over everything and everyone on the face of the earth. What it sees, even in its mind, it possesses, and in its actions, in its praxis. It takes anyone standing in its way, claiming that it is theirs instead, like God or the Father ruling over his family property and business, will be annihilated, borrowing one of Karl Marx's favorite words, vernichten, meaning, like a child with a tantrum, to destroy, annihilate, crush, kill, exterminate, obliterate, to have it his way. Thus, for instance, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, the former must itself be annihilated, vernichtet, theoretically and practically. Karl Marx, thesis on Feuerbach number 4, what he is saying is, once the earthly family, with the father chastening his children, teaching them to obey him, is discovered to be the same method used by the heavenly family. With God the Father chastening those who are his, teaching them to obey him, the earthly father, who engenders the practice first, must be negated in the thoughts and actions of the next generation if the heavenly father is to be negated in the theory and practice of men. The consensus process, with its use of dialectic reasoning, does both, that is negating. The earthly and the heavenly father in the thoughts and actions of all participants at the same time. Apart from God, even in the moment, all man has to measure himself with is himself, that is his own sense experience, lusting after the pleasures and the enjoyments of this life only, even enjoying, his suffering for making the world a better place for the enjoyment of others, which to him might seem to be wisdom and life, that is calling his praxis good, but is instead foolishness and death. Eternal death to the living soul, who God created. Apart from God, who is life, who is righteous in and of himself alone, there is no life for the living soul, only death, unrighteousness, that is eternal death, as the soul lives on forever. Not only apart from the glory of the Father and the Son, but also in the torments of hell, Luke 12 verses 2 to 5, 2 Peter 2 verses 1 to 22. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 verse 23. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5 verse 21. All those who practice dialectic reasoning, those justifying themselves before themselves, justifying themselves according to their own nature, that is according to human nature, travel down the pathway of condemnation and death. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5 verses 18 and 21, the offense of one, that is Adam's disobedience to God, the Father, that is doing his own thing, condemned all. The righteousness of one, that is the obedience of Christ, the Father's only begotten Son, to his heavenly Father, even unto death, saving all, giving life, that is eternal life unto all who believe in his name. In the name of the only begotten Son of God, redeemed. All men unto justification of life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3 verses 17 to 18. Jesus is the thesis, the position, the only thesis, the only position, that is life. Any other answer, that is opinion, speculation, conjecture, theory, etc., is an antithesis, that is wrong, and leads to death. The praxis of synthesis, of dialectic reasoning, that is the merging of the work of Christ, who is righteous, with the work of the world, which is of and for sensuousness, through the use of human reasoning, voids Christ of his righteousness in the thoughts and actions of men in the moment, and deceives all who participate into traveling down the pathway of death, which is called, and seems to be in the moment, life, even doing so in the name of the Lord. Thus, through dialectic reasoning, instead of the person sinning alone, yet retaining a guilty conscience, he sins along with the collective, with no sense of a guilty conscience. The approval of men has that effect upon us. In this way, through group approval, that is through the approval of men. Human nature. that is the sensuousness of man, can join with the righteousness of Christ, voiding man of a guilty conscience and Christ of his righteousness, which can only be imputed to man by God through faith in him, not by works that any man can boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, when we boast in the things we do, we receive glory unto ourselves. Taken captive by our own wisdom, we, for vanity's sake, for the pleasures of this life alone, seek after that glory which is only due our Creator, who created all that is, including the sensation of the pleasure which we lust after. Engendering disobedience and the need for self-justification, that is dialectic, reasoning, justifying sensuousness, disobedience of the Father's will, over and against righteousness, obedience of the Father's will. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 18 to 19 bold added. It is through dialectic reasoning, that is man living according to his own wisdom, that is man justifying himself, that is justifying his own nature of lust, his enjoyment of the things of this world only, before himself and others, that the pride of life is made manifest on the earth, for which the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The pride of life is man's ability to control the things of pleasure of this world, not only for himself, but for others as well. The truth is, it is the things of pleasure of this world which controls man, that is, controls his thoughts and his actions of the moment, engendering ungodliness and unrighteousness, making the lust of his flesh unrighteousness, the standard for knowing truth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, where there is not restraint to pleasure, pleasure being the end, that is the drive, and the purpose of all things. The object taking on meaning or value only in the praxis, that is in the sensuous moment of enjoyment, in the augmentation of pleasure without restraint, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1 verses 18 to 25 bold added and bracketed information added. The works of Brian McLaren are an example of dialectic reasoning being put into praxis in the church today. His thoughts are typical of all dialectic thinkers, that is God and man working together as one for the common good. He writes, Scripture is something God had let be, and so it is at once God's creation and the creation of the dozens of people and communities and cultures who produced it. This is a Gnostic construct in reasoning, that is God and man are one in spirit, both becoming as one as they, enlightened through dialectic reasoning, discover themselves as actually always having been one. We constantly emerge from what we were and are into what we can become, not just as individuals, but as participants in the emerging realities of families, communities, cultures, and worlds. Brian McLaren, A Generous Orthodoxy, page 162, 284, a promo of Greg Garrett's works, a companero of McLaren's, states, according to recent surveys, many Americans associate the label Christian with judgmental attitudes, hypocrisy, fear of hell, and a commitment to right-wing politics. Author Greg Garrett suggests another way, arguing that a faith that focuses solely on personal morality and the afterlife misses much of the point of Jesus' message. The other way of following Christ is not concerned with an array of commandments or with holding the right beliefs. Rather, it is centered on loving each other and loving God, or as Garrett puts it, love, where the rubber meets the road, where faith meets. Works with instead of confronts the world. https://www.thethoughtfulchristian.com/products/0664234046/the-other-jesus.asp(x) It is in the praxis of dialectic reasoning that the words love and faith take on new meaning, defining them and Christ himself through human eyes and human ears, synthesizes the righteousness of Christ and the sensuousness of man, uniting the righteous. Those made righteous in Christ, along with the unrighteous, those of the world, upon a common cause, that is even for the cause of promoting the gospel, through human reasoning, creating another Christ, an antithesis Christ, an antichrist, a fatherless or lawless Christ, one who identifies himself only with man's human nature and his social cause, helping him create a better world for all. Without the Father, who demands perfection, that is righteousness, there is no Son. In obedience to his Father, fulfilling righteousness, there is no righteousness imputed. To man, perfection fulfilled, that is righteousness imputed to reconcile man to the Father, only an ensample of a man at his best, living and dying for social cause. Who is a liar but he that deneath that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that deneath the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:22, you have got to have the Father if you are going to have the Son. That is, there is no Son without the Father. The hope is in the glory of both. In the Father who sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins, and in the Son who obeyed his heavenly Father in all things commanded, even to the death, covering our sins. Apart from, or adding to, this, there is no blessed hope of his glory. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2:11-14, the good works being in him, not in us working for his approval, which is, in actuality, us working for the approval of men. God cannot approve us until we are dead, that is dead to ourselves, that is dead to the glory of man. Man's glory comes through and for his own flesh and reasoning ability, which justifies it, thereby exalting himself, that is justifying his carnal nature, even while doing wonderful things in the name of the Lord, that is dead to dialectic reasoning, that God would receive all the glory from his work alone, for us, on us, in us, and through us. Otherwise, in another wisdom, we serve, work together with another Christ, doing wonderful things in his name, making a name for ourselves. Copyright Institution for Authority Research, Dean Gotcher, 2012-2015, 2024.